Good morning, everyone. Let's look in the Word of God in Romans 16, please. The first several verses of Romans, the 16th chapter, will set the stage for what we want to talk about in this portion of our worship. What a delight to see you. We got a great crowd today, and we've got lots of folks here visiting with us. We're really pleased that you're here at the Westside Church. We hope that you find that what we are doing here is in accordance with the New Testament, that we are practicing New Testament Christianity by the New Testament. We hope that you are finding it to be so, and that you are worshiping with us today in that spirit. It's Romans 16 that I want to read four verses from. Let's work together there. In Romans 16, beginning in verse 1, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. What does it mean to be a woman and be a Christian? Paul mentions a number of ladies in the opening verses that I just read there. What is it to be a woman in the kingdom of God? It seems sometimes that people are rather unsure about this whole being a woman thing. While researching for this lesson this morning, I came across this gem. This is from Dr. Paula Stone Williams. Dr. Paula Stone Williams says the following: I have preached in 3 of the 12 largest churches in America. Today I would not be allowed in the pulpit of a single one. Not only would I be barred because I am transgender, I would be barred because I am a woman. The irony is the things I know now make me twice the person I was before, but the woman's voices remain silent while churches stumble in the dark with a leadership blinded by its own entitlement. It has made me into something I never expected I'd be, a feminist. Paula Stone Williams used to be a man, decided to be a woman, and is now unhappy that he cannot do the things that men are supposed to do, which is ridiculous and confusing. That quote just shows the confusion of our time. So this morning, as we think about what it is to be a church member, what we seek for, as we think about the roles and place that women play in the kingdom of God, is not what pleases our culture now. What we seek for is an answer to the confusion we see everywhere around us by seeking the Word of God. I would warn you this morning that it is not just out in the denominational world that there is confusion about women, even among high-profile mainstream churches of Christ. There has been announcements about women preachers, women elders, women in leadership positions. There is confusion everywhere. And we should expect that because now our world values tolerance as the absolute highest virtue possible, which means that we're supposed to allow anything and everything. And in the name of inclusion, anybody should do anything they want, and how dare anybody say otherwise. But our goal is not to please the culture. Our goal is to please Jesus Christ. It is His church. So this morning, as we continue our lessons about what it is to be a member of the body of Christ, and specifically how we function and work together in this local church arrangement, this morning I do want to talk about ladies and their role and what God expects from them. Somebody will note that in August I talked to our guys, but I want you to know it's not just turnabout is fair play. The men had their day and now it's time for the ladies. No, we need to understand what God expects from women in a local church, particularly in a confused time. The truth is, women haven't always been treated right. That's true of our society. It boggles my mind to think that women did not have the right to vote until 1920. But more than just in our society, women have not always been treated right in the Lord's church. Chauvinism and prejudices have been shoved on women as God's will, leaving ladies lots of times confused and uncertain. I've been point blank asked by sisters in Christ, I shouldn't speak in Bible class, should I? A woman has to keep silent. I've been asked point blank. A man at work talked to me about the gospel, but I can't teach him the gospel because I'm a lady, right? Confused. Confusing. That seems to be where our society is, but even worse sometimes it seems to be, brethren, where we are on this. We can do better and we must do better as we seek what God's Word says. This morning I'm going to share with you four principles from the Word of God that will clarify and give power to what our women do in the kingdom of God as part of the local church. Let me share with you four essential principles. Let's start that conversation by saying some things here about how God values women in His kingdom. Maybe that shouldn't have to be said, but it needs to be said. And that's why I read from Romans chapter 16. Because in Romans 16, in those greetings, there are so many ladies being mentioned there. And they are vital and they are important. In fact, Phoebe, verse 1, may well be carrying the Roman epistle. She may be the one that Paul chose to take it to Rome. Priscilla and Aquila, they risk their necks, verse 4. That's a lady risking her neck. And it goes on in verse 6 that Mary has worked hard. Lots of women are listed here because women matter in the kingdom of God. And that, in fact, goes back to Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, there Luke tells us, in Luke chapter 8, there in verse 1, Luke tells us in Luke 8 and verse 1, soon afterward, Jesus went through Luke 8, 1, cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. These women were part of the discipleship group with Jesus, weren't they? In fact, in John chapter 4, Jesus was traveling, went through Samaria, and in John chapter 4, we read there, they came to a town of Samaria, John 4, 5. There was Jacob's well, John 4, 6. And so the disciples went into town to get food, John 4, 8. And Jesus talks in verse 9 to a Samaritan woman, one of the most famous conversations Jesus ever had, and yet in that culture, men didn't talk to women like this. In Luke chapter 10, turn back to Luke's gospel. At the end of that chapter, in Luke chapter 10, what do we meet? In Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, as they're going along, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary. And you know, and I know, that Martha and Mary become dear friends of Jesus Christ. In fact, who is it that is last at the cross and first at the empty tomb? Who is it believes the resurrection when a bunch of the men won't? It's the Marys, the women that are there. In the gospel account, Jesus regularly interacts with and talks with and teaches women, even as I said, his society said that shouldn't happen. Jesus valued women. And that goes on in the New Testament. That goes on in the New Testament church. That's Romans 16. But it's not just Romans 16, it's Philemon. Look in the book of Philemon, in Philemon chapter 1. In Philemon chapter 1 and verse 2, once again we read about a local church and their meeting. Philemon 1 says, in Philemon 1 and verse 2, Paul's a prisoner. Greet Philemon, verse 1, and Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. There are several sisters who are designated that way in the New Testament, and I would remind you that having a local church meeting in your house not only is a logistical struggle, all the things that go with all of that, but at a time when the church was being persecuted, this is a courageous and brave thing to do. In Philippians 4, in Philippians chapter 4, notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. I entreat, Philippians 4 and 2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Lots of times we just stop reading there and we talk about these two girls who are fussing. But Paul goes on to say, I ask you also, true companion, to help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. In the New Testament church, women fulfilled and functioned in an important role. They mattered in the kingdom of God, and they matter today. This is so because of what Galatians 3 teaches us. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, there we are told that we are one in Christ and that we are equal. Men and women are equal in Christ Jesus. Whether you're a man or a woman does not matter. In verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Verse 28 of Galatians chapter 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. In Judaism, women were treated as second-class citizens. We have the prayers of several rabbis that is very denigrating towards women. But in the kingdom of God, in the New Testament church, that changes. Disciples are equal. Men are not greater than women. Women are not greater than men. Men are not better than women. Women are not better than men. There is equality in Christ because we have all been saved by Jesus Christ. As I said, in some ways it seems like we ought not have to say that. But it is always good to be reminded of where we are in the Lord. Now, having said that God values women in the kingdom, it is also important for us to know that God has given women different roles in the kingdom than He has given men. We're going to read important passages now. I need to make sure that you're coming along with me in your Bible. Let's start over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read the two passages that help clarify the expectations God has for women in the local church. These verses are often misunderstood. You want to look at them. You may want to mark in them. You may want to make notes in the margins. Let's read in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 8 that Paul begins by talking about some assembly things. As he talks about men lifting holy hands in prayer, then he says in verse 9, 1 Timothy 2 verse 9, likewise also, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold and pearls, costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. She became a transgressor, yet she shall be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. I want you to notice here that men are doing something very different than women. Women are going to do something very different from men, and that those roles are rooted in creation. Do you see that? Paul says this is because, verse 13, Adam was formed first. The reason men and women have different roles is because men and women were created by God differently to function in different areas and to do different things. It is rooted in creation itself. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. Adam was alone. He was in need. What did he need? He didn't need another Adam. He didn't need more man stuff in the garden. All the burping and power tools, that was taken care of. We're full up on that. What Adam needed was what? Adam needed something completely different. He needed a woman. And Eve was given to Adam, and she was different. Really different. And she could do things that Adam couldn't do, like have a baby. She was created differently. She was different. And there are things that she could do that no man could do. And there are things that a man can do that a woman is not suited to do. So instead of chafing about that and trying to cross over there and do those people's role, oh, I'm going to do her role. Oh, she's going to come over here and do my role. No. What we're going to do is we're going to see that God has given us different roles and that we honor and glorify our Creator when we respect what He made us to do. In fact, that's going to be the central principle of everything today. Let's do what the Lord has made us to do. But sometimes we have trouble with that, which is why Paul addresses these roles in 1 Corinthians 14. Here is the other famous text about the role of women in the assembly and with a local church. I'm reading in 1 Corinthians 14. Read with me there in verse 33. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, there Paul says, 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there's anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. That passage is very well known. What's not well known is the context that it works in. It works in a letter to a church that was divided by troubles over spiritual gifts. And in fact, that chapter is about people who are exercising their ego instead of exercising their gifts. The problem at Corinth was everybody wanted to be down front. Everybody wanted to do something where, oh, look at me. I'm important. It's all about me. See what I want to do. In fact, things haven't changed very much. And I'm not just talking about the role of women. It does seem oftentimes that what everybody wants is to be up front. Put the spotlight on me. I want to show off. I want to be an elder. I want to be a leader. I want everybody to see me. It's interesting to me that we don't have a lot of competition to teach the cradle role Bible class, but there's always people pushing to get in the front and to get the limelight. Paul's answer to that was everybody needs to function in their role. They need to do what God has made them to do, and God has made men and women to do different things in the local church. And that's okay. In fact, it's not only okay, it's best. It's what God made us to do. So in 1 Corinthians 14... as in 1 Timothy 2, Paul talks here about women not taking the lead in the local church, not taking the lead in the assembly. In the Bible, leadership is a crucial function that God has given to men because God made men to lead. There are, yes, there are rare times in Scripture where women lead. I'm thinking of Deborah, but they are leading because the men failed. Men need to lead. They need to lead this church, and they need to lead this assembly. That's what God made men to do, and that is exactly what 1 Timothy 2, and that is exactly what 1 Corinthians 14 is all about. Women are not, the passage we just read, verse 34, to speak authoritatively in the assembly. I am speaking authoritatively. I am in control of this assembly at this moment. Preaching and teaching, leading the assembly. That is something verse 34 says women aren't to do. They're not to be elders leading the flock. They're not to be in a leadership position in the local church. But these verses do not mean that a woman can't teach history in the local high school. These verses do not tell us what a woman like Lydia could do in her business, or say that a woman can't vote or even run for president. These verses talk about what a woman can do in a local church, and especially in the local church assembly. It's talking about the kingdom of God, and in the kingdom of God, Paul says men and women have different roles. And I need to say this. That's never going to change. It's not going to change. Now, in our time, we've seen a number of so-called Christian groups who have restudied Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6 and figured out, guess what? The Bible doesn't forbid homosexuality. And I expect that because of the pressures of our culture and the confusion of our day, there are going to be so-called Christian groups who are going to restudy 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2 and find out that women can preach. But they can't. These passages say what they say. They mean what they say. And if we are interested in New Testament Christianity according to the New Testament, then we must respect the roles God has placed men in and the roles God has placed women in. It can be no other way if we are going to be a New Testament church. All of us have a role to play. We honor and glorify our Maker when we do what God made us to do. But as we say that, it's important for women to know. That doesn't mean a woman can't teach a man. Here it seems like is where a lot of the confusion comes from. Oh, I was told that a woman couldn't teach a man. I didn't want to talk to that fellow at work about the gospel. Wait a minute. A woman can't teach a man. Can you find Ephesians 5? Can you find Ephesians 5 for me, please? In Ephesians 5, 19, in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, there's a passage here about music. That we are, Ephesians 5, 19, to address one another in psalms and hymns. We are to sing and make melody to the Lord with your heart. Addressing one another. We just did that. Our women here did that. We were singing to God, and we were singing and admonishing one another. Our women were teaching, weren't they? What about a woman who comes forward, asked to be baptized? I'm going to ask her to stand. I'm going to ask her, do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? She says, I do. What'd she just do then? She's teaching. By her example, she is. She is teaching everyone who sees that what they ought to do to become a Christian. Can you start to see? Women don't teach. Oh, a woman has to keep silent in the assembly. You start to see that's boast. Our women didn't keep silent in the assembly this morning, did they? Look again at 1 Corinthians 14, would you please? In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is talking about a specific kind of speaking and that there is to be a specific kind of speaking that a woman is not to do. But he isn't forbidding all speaking. When he says in verse 34, the woman should keep silent, the term in verse 34 is exactly the same term that is used in verse 28 of a tongue speaker. A tongue speaker is to keep silent, he says in verse 28, if there's no one to interpret. But did that mean that tongue speaker couldn't sing? Did that mean that tongue speaker couldn't make the good confession? Did that mean that tongue speaker had no other role? There was a specific kind of speaking, speaking in a tongue, that he was not to do if there wasn't an interpreter. In the same way in verse 34, there's a certain kind of speaking a woman is not to do, addressing the congregation authoritatively. She's to keep silent in that way, but that passage does not prohibit a woman from all speech. And I say again, our women speak in every assembly. They speak in song. And in the same way, our women teach in every assembly. They teach by example. They teach in the songs that they sing. So he says, a woman can't teach. Really? Where did we get that? Look in Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, Paul specifically says that a woman taught a man. In Acts chapter 18, here they are again, Priscilla and Aquila. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 26, there we read about Apollos preaching about half of the gospel, didn't know it all. So, as he was speaking boldly in the synagogue, Priscilla and Aquila heard him, and they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Can we settle this for all time? Women can speak in the assembly, and women can teach men. What our passages that we've looked at, 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 14, forbid is a certain manner of teaching, not all teaching, that's talking about a certain place and a certain kind of teaching. But the admonition for women to teach is an admonition that all of us bear, to go into all the world and to teach the gospel. There's a way that a woman does that. There's a way that men do that. Maybe a different way because of different roles. But we all need to do that. Honestly, if a woman comes up to me after the sermon and she says, I wondered about this verse. Maybe this verse would... Sister, I think you're about to teach me something there. You better stop. That's not 1 Corinthians 14. That's not 1 Timothy 2. She's not speaking authoritatively in the assembly, leading, usurping a leadership function. She's fulfilling her role as a Christian woman, as Aquila and Priscilla did in Acts 18:26. Sometimes someone will say a woman can't teach a man. And what I always want to say about that is I sure would like to introduce you to my mom, who has taught me so much and continues to teach me. After I introduce you to my mom, can I introduce you to my wife? She's taught me so much and continues to teach me. We've allowed the devil to confuse us about these different roles and to deprive women of the opportunity they have within their God-given role. It's not authoritative teaching. I can't emphasize that enough. A woman cannot take this pulpit. A woman cannot be an elder in this local church. But to say that means that a woman cannot teach is to miss badly the point of Scripture. And I think that prohibits a woman from joyfully fulfilling the role God has given to her. Sometimes when I talk about this, what I get is a woman who kind of harumps a little bit. Well, okay, so we get to take food to the sick and teach the little kids classes. That's what we have to do in the kingdom. Wait a minute. Since when did teaching little hearts to know the Lord become so unimportant? Since when did serving our brothers and sisters in Christ in their physical necessities matter so little? In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells that story about the sheep and the goats and separating them, and he says some things. The sheep have done some things, and the goats have failed to do those things. Read that list. Jesus does not say, "Oh, you sheep, you made announcements. Man, that's what the kingdom of God's about. And you led singing and waited on the Lord's table. Aren't you just somebody?" All the things that the sheep are commended for doing, they are the things that women do all the time. In fact, one of the things that we struggle with men in the kingdom is to teach men that the sum total of their Christianity is not fulfilled in this room because they waited on the Lord's table Sunday morning. Well, aren't I somebody? I'll tell you what, that's 2 weeks in a row that I've been on the table. I'm probably up for Christian of the Month now. Is worship important? Absolutely. Is leading in worship important? Absolutely. Is it the sum total of serving the Lord? Absolutely not. How did we get so confused on that, guys? Oh, this is the thing that matters the most. I can preach 1,000 lessons on the love of Christ and bonding together as a local church, and one woman who goes to a family where there is sickness and brings food and does laundry and cleans the house will preach a sermon more powerful than anything I will ever say in this pulpit. She is serving and living and doing the things that bind us together in the kingdom of God, bearing burdens and helping. The truth of the matter is, instead of women envying what the men do, men ought to be envying what the women do, trying to say, "Hey, we want to do some of that. Look how valuable that is. Look how important that is. Can I get in on that?" That's what women are doing in the kingdom. I'm reminded, could you read with me in Acts chapter 9? In Acts chapter 9, I'm reading there in verse 39 about Dorcas. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 39, Dorcas is such a force in the kingdom that when she dies, they send for Peter. And when Peter arrives, Acts 9 and 39, when he arrived, they took him to the upper room, and the upper room and the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. She did what she could. She did what she was suited for, that honored Jesus Christ and brought glory to God and help in the kingdom. That's what we need to do today. I always try to emphasize this when I teach and preach on this subject, because I think it's easy for us to forget that women do some of the most important work in the kingdom, like teaching kids and caring for our shut-ins and raising their family to love and serve God. God has made men to lead. That is who we are, and that is what we must do, and we should do that joyfully. That's the pattern of Scripture. We must respect the pattern of Scripture. But God has made women to do some amazing and incredible things in the kingdom of God. We should rejoice in that. We should celebrate that. We should encourage our sisters to do that. And they should do that joyfully, loving what God has given to them in the kingdom and doing that without trying to climb into some role that Scripture forbids and they're not made to do. Be a Dorcas. Be a Priscilla. Be a Mary and gladly serve God where you are in the kingdom. So I must say that I do not expect any time soon for Dr. Paula Stone to understand why he cannot preach. But I am not surprised. In this world, there's confusion. Confusion about gender and gender roles. But in the kingdom of God, there is certainty. Because we know the God who made us, and His Word tells us what He made us for. Our God is not the author of confusion, but through His Word guides us to what we need to do in the church, the role that we should play in the church, and the avenues and places to serve in the local church. It is the Word of God that gives us the guidance we need so that we need not be confused. I hope that helps our women in the kingdom of God. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we ask a great blessing upon our sisters here at Westside. We ask, Father, that you open their eyes to see how valued they are, how much we depend and need all that they do. We ask, Father, that you open our hearts to encourage them and to remind them of the valuable place of service you have given to them. Bless all of us, Father, to trust you and the roles that you have created us for. Help us to seek you through the Scriptures and to do what you have made us to do. Help us to answer the confusion of this age with the certainty of your Word. Help all of us, Father, then, to serve you joyfully in the role you have given to us. And as always, Father, we ask a great blessing upon our shepherds here as they watch for our souls and as they lead us to your throne. It's in Christ we pray, and amen.